It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Hello.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I feel like doing a radio show yourself. Yeah.
You ever sleep too well?
What's the definition of sleeping too well?
It's like you slept so good, it's like you're still in a fog. I mean, man, I'm not even halfway through my coffee, so
really?
That's part of the issue.
No. I haven't done that in a long time.
I may pronounce something wrong is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, but that,
brace yourself.
That only happens when you don't sleep well.
Yeah, and or no, I slept too well.
Or too well, excuse me. Yeah, I don't know that. Yesterday was a no-nap Wednesday.
Hey, now.
And finally got to bed last night at like 11:15.
Ew.
Ugh.
Ugh. Ooh.
Was out at, want to thank everybody at the Hanging Oaks, Morton Foundation, Tom Morton, Frank LaRosa, and the whole crew out there. It was the annual putting championship, of which we had a, it was myself, Scott Marsh, Gary Gerald, a couple other people out there as a team.
Did you win?
No, but I think we were top five.
Out of five?
Close. A lot of old radio friends there, too, from different different companies.
Oh.
No, it's a charity event. Benefiting the Morton Golf Foundation. They do so much good work here in the community. And they basically set up this giant putting green, create 18 holes, and you play all 18. And it's like miniature golf, kind of, basically. Like, you're putting through, like, you got to get around a library book or underneath a train, a little model train. Or
oh, so it's like miniature golf for grown-ups.
It very much is like miniature golf for grown-ups. And,
that sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, it was. It's always, always a blast. Good morning to Thumbs Down crew. Welcome in, everybody. Bright and early, 6 a.m. as always. Yeah, admit it is a committed group, and I enjoy them.
How many is it?
It was just zero and then three.
Okay.
Although it also might be one person with some burners.
How many people does it take to form a group? Because if it was like two, that's more of a pair.
Yeah, I think three. I think it's like win streak is three.
Okay.
Three is the minimum you would need for a few, because you got like someone, trio, then a couple,
mm-hmm,
and then you have a few.
Okay.
I think that's how it works.
Group and few, those are kind of synonyms at this point.
Exactly.
At least on this show.
The hated train is riding fast, and you know how I work. I do not care as long as you're listening. We appreciate you. And welcome in, 1-800-920-1140. 339-1140, and you can text us. Again, at 916-339-1140. Watch us on YouTube if you're wondering what that's all about. And you can talk about the Giants losing, the A's winning, and God knows whatever else they're going to bring in.
Yesterday was climate change, so
yeah,
brace good. Yourself.
It was really good. My daughter was once again up at 5 a.m. doing homework. That was neat.
Had a nice Same time. Teacher?
Yeah. I had about a 45 half hour conversation with the teacher yesterday. We worked it out. It's fun. I like this guy. It's more about, I think my daughter has to get everything perfect. She's opposite of me. She's a perfectionist. And
so you were saying it takes her like 5 hours to do the homework in his class, but he's like, nah, it shouldn't take that long.
Oh yes. I told him, and he said, oh my God, no. And then he proceeded to tell me a lot of things that I already knew about my kid, which was great because that tells me he's paying attention to her and accurately paying attention to her. And either way, I mean,
what kind of science is this?
Biology.
Boring.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm like boringology. Am I right?
What was the question?
I hate science, by the way. Not for me.
I like science. I just don't like learning. I couldn't do chemistry. Chemistry always got me.
Dude.
And I don't, you know.
That's what kills me about all the Google experts out there is, like, science on, like, deep levels is super difficult to comprehend.
Sure.
And so there are, like, nerds that, like, comprehend it, and Google doctor out there is going to tell them no.
Yeah.
But you don't know what you're doing.
That's what we deal with. What was the thing I saw the other day, yesterday? It said he died doing what he loved, his own research.
Yes.
Like, real. I mean, anyway. Yeah, we spent all this time on, and listen, everyone likes to whine about the education system but not do anything about it. That's the thing du jour. Ah, the schools today.
That's right. Actually everything. Everyone likes to whine about everything and not do anything about it.
But I would say this.
Except Dodgers.
If I was the czar of, if I was the czar of schools, we've talked about this before.
Which you're close to being.
I would spend less time on things like how you know, oxygen reacts with helium and beryllium, and I'd spend more time on here's how important credit is.
Yeah. Here's what a 401k is.
Yeah.
Here's what an IRA is.
Right. Compound interest. Mortgage interest.
Capital gains.
Tax implications. You know, real life. The thing kids always ask, well, how's this going to help me in real life? Well, all that will help you in real life.
Yeah, all of that is actually great to know for real life because not enough people know it as adults.
Right. And you know what? Listen, and you might be in a specialized field and be different about this, but I can tell you this. The last time in actuality that I used factoring from algebra, for example, was, never.
Yeah.
Ever.
Nah.
Never did it.
I've never taken something in my real life and equated it into, like, any sort of advanced algebra problem.
Never. Geometry? And, of course, there's going to be some dork out there who's like, you don't understand. You use geometry all the time. You'd use it. Okay. Dude, no. The Pythagorean theorem has never helped me.
Nope.
Let's see. Knowing hypotenuse and acute versus obtuse.
Yeah.
The only time that, honestly, there you go. There's a phrase that's actually something I have used in real life quite a few times, but it's when I'm calling somebody obtuse. I'm not trying to figure out the angle of the dangle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the type of overhaul we need, is just a common sense overhaul on how we educate our kids and what is and is not important. Life lessons. Like, don't ever be rude to anyone that handles your food.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great, you should be tested on that. Do not mess with medical personnel that take care of your body, and don't screw around with radio engineers.
Yeah.
Like, things that you need to know. How to drive, those are great lessons.
Well, they have that in high school.
And then listen, there are some, there are some occupations where you need this stuff. Where you need geometry, calculus, this, that, whatever, especially, you know, computer science and all that. I totally understand it. But you know what? Learn it in college when you've decided to specialize in something.
Agreed.
I'm going to go do this, so therefore I need all this stuff. But in the meantime, I'm going to learn how the stock market works. What is a put? What is a call? What does margin mean? Meh. Hey, why? Who disagrees with that? Who hears what I'm saying and goes, I don't really need the kids to learn anything about finance or credit scores.
Some teacher in the backwoods of Abilama.
I think it's a lot of it's here, too.
Oh, I know.
And I understand the need for arts and history and all that. That's fine. Like
selectives. I think history should be mandatory.
History should be. But, I mean, you know, you get taught. I remember being taught about some painter who painted the thing. And
that's an elective in my mind.
Oh, well.
In my mind.
I mean, I understand being exposed to
Unless it's Bob Ross, that should be mandatory.
You got to be exposed to it so you know whether or not you're into it or not. I understand that. Like, but, you know, my son, for example, you know, they need to have – do they still have home ec?
They didn't have home ec when I
was in school either, so I guess they don't. But why would you not have a class that's mandatory, or should we say these days person-datory, that teaches children the basics of the kitchen? How to light a gas stove.
I think they leave that to the parents at this point.
No, I mean, listen, you don't have to do everything for the parents. I get that, but the basics. What a measuring cup is. What a teaspoon.
Can I ask you, why don't you teach your children
that? Oh, no. Listen, my kids are completely involved with me in the kitchen. It's very, very important, just like I was with my parents, why I enjoy cooking so much.
Yeah, our small child has to be present when food is being cooked.
But that's great. But I can tell you that that's probably exception, not the rule. Understanding how to cook on a budget would be a wonderful class.
I think that's more college level.
Think about the, no.
Yes.
You could have a junior high or high school class.
They need to learn the value of the dollar first to cook on a budget.
It doesn't have to be either or. I would put a curriculum out. I would have things in the class like rice cookers, Crock-Pots, Instapots. Like, my kids go to college, they're going to go there with a couple of pretty key items for their rooms.
Again, how about you're just a good parent?
No, a normal parent.
No, a good parent but is going to prepare their children for that. Like you said, there's you're more the exception than the rule there, sir.
Well, that's my point, is that that is the exception and not
so
the
parents
rule,
step your game up.
Well, that's, hey, easier said than done.
Not necessarily.
Yes, it is. You got a world full, you got a country full of parents that think the iPhone, the TV, and the teacher are the babysitters and responsible for raising their kids.
I hear you on that one.
And we're not changing that. So, you know, step up.
Well, we should.
Well, yes, I completely agree with you. But, you know, we should also have massive raises. What did you just pick up?
My off button.
Oh. You broke the board? Neat. Also, in other news, as I got out of my car today, as we go to break, did something I've never done in my life.
You saw all the empty bullet boxes.
I heard about that. That's scary. No, I completely ripped my pants.
Nice.
I have a rip from the bottom of my butt crack to the middle of my...
Can I see it?
I mean, probably if you look at me walking around, I have an entirely ripped pair of shorts.
Can I help you fix it?
You have a needle and thread? So, see, if you learn that in school, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Advanced sewing coming to a curriculum near you.
Sewing is a tremendous thing to learn in school with real-life implications. All right, leading off, the Giants. you didn't change the thing I wrote. The Giants, the A's.
Mark, you read it verbatim, or however you say that word.
Jay wrote, the Giants lose. Giants finally lose, and I added your mom. And usually he'll erase those. But
he didn't put any punctuation, so it says, Giants finally lose your mom.
Well, maybe she's not a fan anymore. And we've got NFL football tonight. We'll do all that next. In leading off.
Play.
Right after this.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal. In the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
1-1 from Melanson. Pitch to Wade is swung on. Hit on the ground right to Tatis. Down to one knee. He's got it. Throw to first in time, and the ball game is over.
Well, here we go. You waited and waited and waited. It's finally here.
It's over!
It is over. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
The winning streak is.
The winning streak is over. The Giants failed to hit 10 in a row. They've only done that once in their San Francisco era. But the Dodgers won. Because, you know, the Diamondbacks, they're done.
You know, hey.
Done.
Were you shocked that they swept the Diamondbacks?
No.
Guess who their next series is against, by the way?
Isn't it the Rockies or somebody terrible?
It's the Diamondbacks.
Oh, they play them twice in a row?
I think so.
No, they don't.
I could have swore when I looked at the schedule this morning.
No, they play the Reds.
Oh.
You really weren't awake.
I told you, no. Like, if... I slept really good last night, and I was like in a fog all morning, and coffee's now kicking in a little bit. You can kind of, I've perked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I told you, I wasn't kidding. I was in a fog this morning. I'm actually surprised that I didn't make too many mistakes on this rundown.
The lead is down to 1.5. The Giants have won 9 of 10, and their lead is down to 1.5.
They've won 9 of 10, and in that 10 game set, their lead has shrunk.
Yeah, it's just weird, but that is the... That's the year that's happening right now. 1.5 games over the Dodgers. The Dodgers begin their series with the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow. They are off today.
That's actually a very important series with wild card implications.
Well, sure.
So, I mean, the Cardinals have now, they've won 6 of 7. I believe they're now into that second wild card spot.
Yeah, the Cardinals just 12.5 back of the Milwaukee Brewers. But yes, when you look at the wild card situation, it is all kinds of jump. Right now, the Dodgers need to be careful.
Yeah.
They only have a 17-game lead.
Slim.
In the wild card race.
Slim 17-game lead for Dave Roberts and Dodgers. Listen, they could lose at any time in the next... I guess actually they can't,
yeah,
can they?
Yeah, no. The funny thing about the NL wild card, obviously a Dodger or a Giant is going to be one. So there's one wild card spot open. Currently held by the Cardinals, who are a game... and a half ahead of the Reds. Here's what's funny, because up until last night, it seemed like they were pretty much packing it in. You know, the Padres are actually just a game out of the wild card. They're ahead of the Reds. after that. They're a game back. They're right in the thick of the wild card race. So both the Reds and Padres have something to play for. It'll be nice that the Dodgers are actually playing a team that has something to play for.
Right. What did the Diamondbacks have pride to play for?
Oh, yeah. That Diamondback pride. That famous Arizona Diamondback pride.
I mean, Diamondback pride is one of those things we don't talk enough about in sports radio, but it truly is. When you want to talk about encompassing the true spirit of sport,
yeah,
it's Diamondback pride.
Yeah, it really is. Number two.
You sure?
Diamondback pride.
Leading off. Cut number two.
All right, here's Chafin, lefty on lefty at the belt. And he throws to O'Hearn. It's swung on and bounced back to Chafin. Knocks it down. Picks it up. Throws to first for the out, and the ball game is over.
I know that's not how the legendary Ken Korak was trying to come off, but just when you hear that out of context, it's so, all right, the 1-2. Okay, are we done?
I think it was another one of those, like, this game is way too close for comfort moments with Ken, because not exactly a pitcher's duo last night in KC.
No, and it was almost wash, rinse, repeat as the A's jumped out to a 2-1 lead, grew it to 3-1. Then it was 5-4. Then it was 8-4. Then it was 8-5. Then it was 12-5. Okay, you can relax a little bit. Uh-oh, 12-6 in the 7th. Uh-oh, 12-9 in the 8th. And then the Royals had a run in the 9th. Okay, but the A's escape with a 12-10 victory.
Imagine putting up 12 runs on the road and escaping with a victory.
I mean, here's the bottom line. The bullpen. Hey, this was all about the offense saving their rear ends. The bullpen one, you know, first off, Sean Manaea wasn't great. 5 innings, 5 earned.
Yeah, he was okay. I mean, you got over 100 pitches out of him in 5 innings.
Sure.
So that's...
But I think you got over 100 pitches out of him in 5 innings because he was in trouble most of the time because Bob Melvin didn't want to go to the bullpen.
No, he couldn't.
And rightfully so, because the bullpen between Trevino, Diekman, and our friend Andrew Chafin.
Dear friend Andrew Chafin.
They come in and give up 5 earned in 4 innings. Thank God the A's have a little bit of offense. By the way, I was looking at
a little bit of pop.
I was reading an article on the MVP race yesterday. It was talking about a Marcus Semien's currently, they have him in third, and he's coming on strong.
Yeah, there's no way he'll win that award, seeing that his teammate Vlad Guerrero. What's crazy is Vlad Guerrero Jr. is in contention for the Triple Crown and probably won't win the MVP. That's how amazing Shohei Ohtani's season's been.
Yeah, and Shohei Ohtani's been kind of struggling.
Yeah, I don't think his September struggles are going to change the MVP voting.
I don't either.
But could you imagine if, like, Vlad Jr. wins a Triple Crown and doesn't win the MVP? That's insane.
Well, he needs to learn how to pitch. You know?
You got an answer for everything, don't you?
Number three.
Leading off. Cut number three.
Oh, come on. Well, I tried to do something cool. You ruined it. You loaded up a sound.
I did.
I was trying to play the sound. I don't understand why. Oh, yes, I do.
Because your volume's not up?
Because we were testing. No, my volume was up, just not enough.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone.
Is he?
Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips.
You're an awful person.
Sorry, but
I loaded in a beautiful Jones to Sterling Shepard touchdown. A moment of positivity for that fan base, and you just decided to poo-poo it.
The last time the Giants were on Thursday Night Football, that happened. An 80-plus yard run for Daniel Jones. There was no one within 10 yards of him.
You're an awful person.
And he fell. Coming up later, bigger New York quarterback mistake. The Daniel Jones trip or the butt fumble. I really think that's an argument.
No.
I think most people will. I'm going to put that out as today's poll, and I'll bet you most people say the butt fumble.
But the butt fumble, if I'm not mistaken, occurred against the 49ers, so there's a bias in this region.
I gotcha. But I'm just saying, I don't know why this isn't more famous than the butt fumble, because the other one's got a great name.
Because
butt
he was
fumble.
All by himself.
It was ridiculous. Well, that was last time the Giants were on Thursday Night Football.
Well, hopefully we get a moment like that tonight, because that's the only reason to watch this game.
Take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Dude, how did we go from, like, one of the best possible matches last week on Thursday Night Football to this garbage?
The NFL, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I don't know if anybody's ever told you broadcast like a girl, But I got an example of somebody broadcasting like a girl. It's really actually a very cool thing. We'll talk about that more next.
1-800-920-1140 to talk.
Or maybe texting would be better.
Text the show at 916-339-1140. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Sports.
Sports.
It's all sports.
24 hours a day.
I always love it when we have everything planned out for a segment.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about. And then in 5 minutes, it all goes to crap.
Why?
During the break. I found out two things that have me shook.
Okay.
Let's get to the first one, because I don't know if we'll have time for the second one in this segment. Do you remember a couple days ago when we were laughing and making fun of whatever Ding Dong decided to have Lonzo Ball ahead of De'Aaron Fox in the Bleacher Report?
Yes.
2017 redraft?
I do.
Yeah. And did that on Twitter. Had fun with it. And it has, even the Kings official account made fun of it.
It's that egregious.
It's so stupid that it's laughable. But see, I just looked at the rankings. It wasn't until the break that I saw the link and it had like paragraphs on each one. I actually read the article. And who wrote the article? The guy who wrote the article is named Andy Bailey and is one of my favorite basketball minds in the world. A friend on Twitter. I've had many if you're deep in NBA Twitter, you probably know Andy Bailey. One of Andy's trademarks is he'll put out a stat line, like a career stat line or for a five-year period. He'll say player A and then put out their points, rebounds, assists, and then maybe a couple of deeper metrics versus player B. Who would you rather have?
Right, and usually everyone's like, oh, player A, and then he'd be like, well, actually, player A is this person, and player B is.
Right.
Like, wait, what?
Right, he does this, and then it's like, well, player B was Allen Iverson. Player A is Alex Caruso, and 83% of you voted for him.
Idiots.
And I really, truly like Andy, who seems like a nice guy.
His name's Andy.
Right, we've never played basketball together or barbecued, but.
Have you tweeted?
Very many times.
But have you DM'd?
Yes, we have. Oh. Very many times we've interacted on Twitter. We follow each other. I've been a fan of Andy's for, gosh, 3-4 years now. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Andy's like 6'10", 6'11", and I think he used to play at, gosh, is it Wyoming? Or he played college ball. He's incredibly, and I'm floored. I just thought it was some freaking intern trying to make a name for themselves. I can't remember what it was, but about a month or 2 months ago, we had a similar. There was an article up that was so bad, and I want to say it was on Bleacher Report. Might have been something else. They took it down because it got so much crap, and I can't remember what it was right now. So I read this article and I saw Andy's byline. I went, "Oh my god!" So I DM'd him. It's 6:30 in the morning. I would very much love to have Andy. If I will very much
defend yourself, Andy.
Andy, what the heck? I mean, listen. In the end, it's just, you know, who cares?
It's fodder, but
Andy at two, Andrew,
AB, and not Antonio Brown, or Anthony Bonner,
or apple biscuits.
Bees.
The other thing that I found out that shook me, but not in a bad way. Was a retirement in sports. Longtime mixed martial artist and dear friend, Joseph Benavidez, has announced his retirement from the world of mixed martial arts. What is Joe now? 37, I think.
God, he's old.
I know, right? 28-8. Yeah, he is 37. God, he's 37.
Oh, Joseph, I remember when you were a young lad.
Well, you know, listen, I remember when Joseph showed up from New Mexico looking for a gym, and we'll have Faber on here in the next few days to talk about this, literally showed up like, hey, I have nowhere to stay, I have no money.
But I'm here to fight.
I'm here to fight, and I want to learn. And so he showed up at Faber's gym, the old gym he had, Team Alpha Male Gym downtown, and would sweep floors. He would run the front counter, and Uriah had this thing where after every big purse he got, he'd try to buy a house on the street he lived at put a down payment down as an investment. Mm-hmm. And then he would, all these fighters that would come in, he would either let them stay there for free or for very cheap rent. He would basically have these fighter flop houses, for lack of a better term. They would all stay in on the street. It was this, for lack of, it really was kind of a comp.
It was an MMA brothel.
Well, let's say commune.
I like mine better.
Joseph's a great guy. He is a, I think his first big purchase, if I remember right, was a Cadillac with the horns on the front. Joseph would make hundreds of thousands of dollars from a purse and then go to Goodwill and buy his outfits. He was he wasn't flashy, but he was eccentric, still is. Married to Megan Levy, the beautiful, wonderful, talented, and super sweet UFC reporter.
I was just going to say, I don't know Joe. Uh-huh. I've seen Joe. Yeah. Joe came up there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he'd be the first guy to tell you. He would be the first guy to tell you. He truly is a good guy. I'm glad he's getting out. He had lost three in a row. Joseph was like, it really mirrored Faber, although Faber was the WEC champion. Joseph was the second best person in his division for a very long time. He just happened to run into a prime Dominic Cruz twice. He happened to run into a prime Mighty Mouse twice.
The human, not the cartoon.
Other than the Faber-Aldo fight, my most uncomfortable in watching my good friend get his legs shattered, sitting next to Joseph's mom and family when he fought Mighty Mouse here in Sacramento and watching him get absolutely KO'd was not a comfortable. That was a very bad memory. But almost all my memories of Joseph were great. He's a wonderful ambassador of the sport. Dana White, who rarely compliments fighters when they were to put out a glowing statement.
Dana White's always afraid to compliment fighters because he thinks he might have to pay him more.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe that's why.
If I say something nice, they're going to demand more money. Ah, they suck.
Right. And much like Chad Mendez is doing with his hunting and food and weapons stuff that he takes people on fishing and hunting trips, he's got a nice little side business going.
The guide service?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Takes people and takes them hunting and fishing and stuff. I am sure Joseph's going to have many things coming to him after retirement. So we'll get Joseph on here in the next few days and talk to him. It's been too long. The Milwaukee Bucks, we went to break saying, hey, anybody ever tell you broadcast like a girl? Obviously, tongue-in-cheek. The Milwaukee Bucks have named Lisa Byington as the team's new TV play-by-play voice.
Now, for those wondering, because everyone's going to be like, wait a minute, we just did the same thing. We did not.
No, we hired a color analyst.
Two different jobs.
Completely two different jobs. So, Lisa would be the Mark Jones equivalent, whereas Katie is the Jerry Reynolds or Doug Christie equivalent. They are two completely separate jobs. She becomes the first woman to handle full-time TV play-by-play duties for a major men's professional sports team. She replaces longtime Bucks announcer Jim Paschke, who retired last year and was the TV play-by-play voice for 35 years. Listen, this isn't some woke virtue signal statement. I don't care if you're a woman or a man or a dog or a cat. If you're good at your job, you should have a shot. I love, I can be really honest about this because I know my heart's in the right place. It took me a while, years and years ago, it took me a while to get used to women doing play-by-play in guys' sports. It just sounded weird. That's didn't sound bad. It sounded weird. And you know what happened? I got over it because
really?
It didn't sound weird because of lack of skill. It was just new.
You didn't stop watching the sport?
No, I didn't. It was just new and different. But now, and Doris Burke is always a wonderful example. And there's many others where you have guys calling all kinds of events that have women in them. You have guys coaching women's sports. And I'm okay with that. But having women call men's sports, listen, if they're good at their job, so what?
Yeah.
I love it. I love, obviously, I'm biased with Katie. But I a lot of times, not a lot of times, I'm sure almost all the time. Let's just put it this way. I don't know, and I apologize in advance if I'm wrong, but I'll just keep using Mark Jones as an example because I think he would understand and appreciate it. I don't think Mark Jones came up in the business. Now, Mark had other things that I know he had to go through, I'm sure. But Mark didn't have to go through emails and text messages telling him to go back to the kitchen. Mark didn't have to go through emails And text messages and direct messages talking about his outfits and how they made him look and how beautiful he looked on air. He didn't have to look at unsolicited pictures sent to him. You know where I'm going.
The stuff I go through on a regular basis.
So when I see whether it's Lisa or Katie or any of these other women get to this point, I also know that they had to work harder and go through 10 times more garbage than we did. So it's even more of an accomplishment. So I don't know Lisa. I had never heard of Lisa Byington before, but I'm looking forward to this, and we'll be checking that out on League Pass. Congratulations to Lisa and to the NBA and to the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, Soundgarden coming up at 7 o'clock. Don't forget Chris Biederman, beat writer for the Sacramento Beat, continues the best Niner coverage in the Valley. He will join us at 8:05. Brooks Koepka with the Ryder Cup coming up, one of my favorite events in sports. Brooks Koepka had some comments. Paul Azinger had some comments back. And I have some thoughts. I was talking to a golf professional yesterday about Brooks Koepka, and I want to run them by you and the rest of the audience, Jay. We'll do that next.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm Lil Dicky. Hi, I'm Dave.
Good morning. Welcome in. Lots to get to in this segment. Want to talk about Bryson DeChambeau. And Brooks Koepka. Page first. Is this work? Yeah. I like to do a story time.
Well, you cut off a little dicky.
Sorry. I hate that. You know that. But.
Oh, yeah?
It's yours. Now, why would you do that if you hated something?
Just to be mean.
Do you remember a quarterback for the Washington football team?
Yes.
Named John Beck?
No, but I remember Rod Beck.
Yeah, John Beck was the quarterback for the football team back in 2011.
Really?
Former coach Mike Shanahan once said he would stand on a table to advocate for Beck.
It's a hell of a compliment, I guess.
Yeah, but not shared by the players.
Yeah.
During the 2011 lockout, Beck organized workouts.
I forgot about that lockout.
According to former tight end Chris Cooley, quote, what I remember is he called everyone and said, this is John Beck, your starting quarterback. We all called each other and said, is he the starting quarterback or is he just saying that? I didn't hate the confidence. But it didn't translate to games. His last two starts were disasters. He was sacked 10 times.
Ow.
In a shutout loss against the Buffalo Bills because he wouldn't throw the ball. Cooley said he panicked. The next week, he dumped the ball off to running back Roy Alou 14 times and averaged 5.4 yards per pass attempt. In those games, Beck posted total QBRs of 11.3 and 25.8. Santana Moss maybe said it the best. Remember Santana Moss?
I remember Santana Moss fondly.
I do too. Won me a fantasy league one year.
Really?
Almost single-handedly, yeah. He thought he was going to be the guy, said Santana. But he sucked ass. I won't lie. I broke my hand and didn't play the final two games with him. Nothing better could have happened to me because I didn't have to play with this guy. You talk all this stuff in the offseason and then go out and lay this egg. Beck never played again, but he has transformed himself into a quarterback teacher.
Nice.
Training players for the NFL. Santana Moss with the quote of the day. I mean,
I appreciate the honesty.
I do too. I don't hate him for any of this, but
there's nothing to hate. He said what he said.
He just went out and absolutely murdered
with a trident.
Like, what did he do? That escalated quickly.
He sucked ass, apparently.
My goodness. One other note, because I think this is interesting, as we prepare everybody for your once in a blue moon a little bit later. This happened with Jameis Winston.
On second down, air it out, Deontay Harris. He's got it. Touchdown. Another for Winston.
That touchdown pass traveled 50 yards in the air from Jameis Winston.
Yes, I watched it.
Drew Brees attempted 9,421 passes for the Saints. And had he done what Jameis Winston did on Sunday, that would have been the first time he did it. That's bananas.
Not really.
Really, though? I mean, all
Drew Brees didn't exactly have a cannon.
I gotcha.
Great quarterback, but was not known
I gotcha.
To get the ball downfield on that level. Whereas Jameis legit has a cannon on his arm.
I 100% feel you. Ew. But
how'd I feel?
Not once.
Again, I'm not entirely shocked.
Mm. All right. Well, Paul Azinger was shocked.
Great transition.
Paul
excellent job.
Azinger was shocked when he heard Brooks Koepka in a recent Golf Digest interview. Said he was frustrated by the way the Ryder Cup takes an individual player away from what he's accustomed to doing at a regular event. He said he's feeling good go for the event itself. But in a lengthy interview with Golf Digest that published Tuesday, he said, quote, "It's tough. There are times where I'm like, I won my match. I did my job. What do you want from me? I know how to take responsibility for the shots I hit every week. Now, somebody else hits a bad shot and left me in a bad spot, and I know this hole's a loss. That's new, and you have to change the way you think about things. You go from an individual sport all the time to a team sport 1 week a year. It's so far from my normal routine." Paul Azinger, who goes back with the Ryder Cup more than 30 years, says, quote, I'm not sure he loves the Ryder Cup that much, and if he doesn't love it, he should relinquish his spot and get people there who do love it. Not everybody embraces it, but if you don't love it and you're not sold out, then I think Brooks, especially being hurt, should consider whether or not he really wants to be there. And if you add the Bryson dynamic to that, it would be even an easier decision for him. I want to give you a theory, and then I want to give you a thought, Jay.
Okay.
Theory first.
Okay.
And I might put this out as today's poll question. I think within 5 years, if not sooner, Brooks Koepka is going to be less liked than Bryson DeChambeau.
Really?
I actually think Brooks Koepka is probably less likable than Bryson DeChambeau, who is also at times unlikable. But I think...
Explain.
I think that Bryson is just kind of, we talked a lot about meatheads yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of a misunderstood meathead with a little bit of wine to him.
Okay.
I think Brooks Koepka is just kind of a red ass, like really just kind of a red ass.
With a lot of bit of wine to him?
Yeah, but he doesn't come off, I think, as whiny as Bryson, but I think deep down he might be a meaner person. But I'm also going to stand in front of Brooks Koepka here. First off, he's describing the difference between the Ryder Cup and how he normally would play golf. None of what he's saying is a lie. And even if Paul Azinger's comments are true, which, you know, hey, if Brooks doesn't like it, even if Brooks doesn't like the Ryder Cup, shouldn't we admire him more for playing
in
an event
he
doesn't really like, especially coming off an injury where he had to pull out of the playoff?
As long as he is competing at 100%, yeah, even if he doesn't like the tournament, sure.
I actually gained respect for Brooks Koepka after that, and the story is being presented as like, oh, he hates America. I don't really get Azinger's comments, and I love Paul. I understand that the thought.
Yeah, I think Paul's taking those comments a little too personally.
I think he is too, and I salute Brooks Koepka. If he's not that into the Ryder Cup and he still goes out there and performs, well, then thank you for your service to your country's golf program, Brooks. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, top of the hour. Let's get to Soundgarden. Remember when Travis Kelce said to the Mannings, like, I don't know what we're playing on Sunday. He clarifies, maybe. Aaron Rodgers. I've never heard an interception get blamed on this. And Deja Vu, Urban Meyer edition. We'll do this next.